You know what I love to do in the summer?
It's time for you to make out with another married guy.
No, I love to eat homegrown produce, and the only place that I would ever get my fresh produce is from Tease Farms and Greenhouses. Sweet corn, tomatoes, and peaches are my go-to produce this time of year. Not only do they have the best selection of plants, flowers, and shrubs, they have the best homegrown produce picked fresh from their fields. Get your local Missouri honey at Tease Farms and leave the beekeeping to the pros.
Give us an audio.
That sort of screaming is what I'm hearing. And I can see bees, and they're all being stung.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back in the afternoon drive. Tanner Law's This Day in History coming up at 4:45. But before we get to that, the A's are in town. Interleague play starting back up tonight. Three-game series, Cardinals and A's. And here to talk about that is the TV color commentator for the Oakland A's. He is former major leaguer Ray Fosse, and he joins us now. Ray, good afternoon.
Wonderful day, isn't it? Nice and hot and humid. It's our perfect Midwestern day.
I was going to say, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, Ray. I played Legion Ball, and one of our tournaments, one of the last tournaments I ever played in, played it down at Ray Fosse Park in Marion, Illinois. And that was that was where our coaches were telling us who Ray Fosse was, and it was a beautiful park that they named after you.
Well, I knew you were too young for me to even say Sportsman's Park, but once you said Ray Fosse Park, I definitely remembered that you were too young. But no, it was great. The town of Marion did a wonderful job after we won the 1973 World Series, and they closed down the town for 2 days. My wife, Carol, and I went back there. We had a wonderful time and had a parade, visited all the schools, renamed the park, and key to the city, the whole thing. And I found out later, somebody told me, you know, there's not a lot of hometowns that would do what Marion did for you, and I was very appreciative of what they did. But believe me, I'm standing right now in the visiting dugout looking at the arch and looking at this magnificent stadium and just dreaming how great it would be in Oakland for the A's to have something similar to this, which we're hoping. But I went to Sportsman's Park, and to be honest, guys, I was confused because it kept saying this was Bush 3. Then I realized Sportsman's Park was purchased by the August A. Bush company, and they named it Bush 1, and then, of course, I saw 2 and now 3. So it's great that the city of St. Louis has a wonderful baseball team, and I know tonight it's going to be a sea of red, and I always look forward to it.
So did you grow up a Cardinal fan, being a short drive away?
Absolutely. Anytime someone would say, Ray, do you want to go to a game? And I'd say yes. And I was a Stan Musial fan, the man. I listened to Harry Carey, Jack Buck, kept score, listened to those guys on radio, and I tell you a quick story. When I first met Harry Carey, I had listened to him for many years, and I thought every St. Louis Cardinal was a home run hitter because Harry made it sound like that. There's a long drive way back. It might be all caught. And then I went to a game at Sportsman's Park, and then I realized Harry was fooling everybody. And I remember one time he said, hey, it's radio. You got to sell the game. And he sold it as well as anybody. And I remember listening to him. But the Cardinals were great. I enjoyed them. Kenny Boyer, of course, and Stan Musial, and Tim McCarver. I signed in 65, so anything prior to 65, I remember seeing a lot of the Cardinals games, as many as I could when I was invited to come up here.
Ray, how do you assess the current athletics right now? The record's not that great, but do you think it's kind of a bit of a product of bad luck because Sonny Gray pitching?
No. Let's not go there. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It was a bad season, and basically right now there's a lot of young guys. You're going to see Ryan Healy at third base. I really haven't seen the lineup, but I know what we've been seeing is Jake Smolinski in center. They want to see what he can do. Ryan Healy definitely doing a job at third base. Stephen Vogt, guys, he was ready to leave baseball twice when he was at the Tampa Bay Rays. His wife, Alyssa, convinced him to stay, and now he's a two-time All-Star, veteran catcher, leads this ball club. You're going to see three starters in this series that you would never have thought you would be seeing because of really an entire rotation on the disabled list, including Sonny Gray, as you started to allude to. But, you know, it's really too many injuries. I wouldn't say bad luck. I would say it's just injuries that, unfortunately, you look around baseball, there's too many of them. And unfortunately, even more so, the A's have used the DL now 15 times, not quite the Dodgers 27. But when you have 15 guys on the disabled list at one time, you're bringing up guys from the minor leagues. But I think the best thing is they're getting a chance to play, giving them an opportunity to play. And what we're seeing, you know, I mentioned Healy. Marcus Semien is doing a tremendous job at shortstop. Max Muncy at second. Jed Lowry's on the disabled list. So Muncy's getting a chance to play second. I mean, it's just a good young ball club, and I think the skipper, Bob Nolan, said it best, kind of an infusion of youth and then energy. And I've always known that if you're making the minimum and you're trying to establish yourself at the major league level, you're going to play hard, and these guys are doing that, and it's fun to watch it.
Yeah, the starting center field tonight is Coco Crisp, and we were just talking about this. It's surprising. He was actually drafted by the Cardinals and traded all the way back in 2002. For Chuck Finley, it's hard to believe that Coco Crisp is still out there playing baseball when he was a part of a trade that included Chuck Finley.
Well, that does go back, but Coco's the oldest player on the ball club, which I think he's 35, and I apologize. I got to the park, had not seen the lineup, so I did not know who was playing. But what happened at the end of the All-Star break, Bob Melvin met with Coco Crisp and Danny Valencia and told them, hey, the season is what it is. We have to see what we have for the future. And that's when Smolinski was pretty much put into center field and Ryan Healy at third. And now Valencia is playing in right field. He's playing first. He's DHing. Of course, no DH in this weekend series. But I know the managers had to move the I know now that I think about it, because there's no DH. That means Chris Davis is in left because he can't DH. And Coco in center. And is it Valencia in right?
Let's see. It is Valencia in right, Chris Davis in left, yes.
Yeah, and that's because there's no DH. If there's a DH, then that would change things. But you know, the bottom line, you know, and getting back to your original question, it's just a lot of players on the DL, and it's just unfortunate, but it's good to see young players playing well. And I think the biggest thing, your Cardinals are trying to do something to get the postseason. The A's will go to Houston. They just finished with Cleveland. They still have Seattle to play. Kansas City's making a move. So these young players are getting some great experience on how to play against teams that are contending, and hope that it's going to help them in the future.
You think the A's have found kind of a future middle of the lineup staple in Chris Davis?
Oh, good. Oh, what a trade that was. And you know, everybody thought last year, and of course, Kazmir ended up in Los Angeles, and now he's on the DL, but it was Kazmir to Houston for Nottingham and Mingdon, and Nottingham went to Milwaukee to get Chris Davis, and he's going to hit 40 and drive in 100-plus. I mean, he's just been an unbelievable. And I must say, I've seen a lot of strong guys, and you had one here named Mark McGuire that we saw for many years. This Chris Davis, he hits a ball, and you'll see outfielders start thinking they're going to have a chance to catch it. They start drifting, get the warning track, next thing it's gone. Just unbelievable contact and power that he has, and he can hit the ball out of any part of the park. But he was a great find, for sure.
You mentioned the stadium earlier. You mentioned how nice Busch Stadium looks with the background. What is the latest? I mean, we follow what's going on with the Raiders because losing the Rams, but what's going on with the A's?
All I know is that as I left yesterday, or we left yesterday, I heard two different things. Number one, that our owner, John Fisher, was going down to Howard Terminal, which is an area that's near the bay, and he was looking, supposedly going to look at that as a possible site. And then I'm driving a little bit later, and I hear that the Raiders' Mark Davis has established the Los Angeles Raiders as trademark, and they're talking about that. So I don't know. To be honest, and it's just me talking, I don't know anything other than I think the Coliseum site is big enough that they could do, let's say hypothetically, if the Raiders leave and the A's stayed, where we're sitting right now in St. Louis at Busch 3, and I remember at Busch 2 when this one was being built, adjacent to Busch 2, and once it was completed, they demolished the old one, and that's it. Well, they could do the same thing in Oakland at the Coliseum, and they could utilize the current stadium to play while they built a new one in the north or south parking lot above ground, 36,000 feet, our people, and then demolish it and be able to stay there and not move. They have BART access, which is the Bay Area Rapid Transit that unloads right at the Coliseum. So everything's really good there, but I think the mayor in Oakland would like to keep both, which means if the A's went to Howard Terminal site, the Raiders could stay at the Coliseum, build a new one there. So I think best case scenario for the city of Oakland, they want to keep both. But since the Rams left, so somebody probably wanted to get somebody back here as well, I would think.
That's Ray Fosse, our guest here on the Afternoon Drive. Ray, before we let you go, what do you expect this series to look like, A's and Cardinals?
Well, I'm going to simply say this. I think for the Cleveland Indians, it might have been a wake-up call for them in a three-game series because the A's pitchers allowed just one run per game in winning two out of the three. The one game they lost, Santana hit a home run, 1-0. That was it. I just hope the Cardinals don't they cannot afford to look at the record of the Athletics and say, okay, this is a team 19, 20 games under 500 or out of the division lead, way under 500. You can't take a team lightly at this time of the year. When you're playing a team that has nothing to play for, and the A's right now are playing for the future and the youth, you cannot take them for granted. And I would think that Mike Matheny and the Cardinals are going to play because I think right now it's a wild card shot for the Cardinals because the Cubs are running away with the division. But they still have a chance to wild card. And as you know as well as I do, that you get to postseason in October, it's who is the hottest team, and that team's going to win the World Series. So as a former Cardinal fan, and still a Cardinal fan, watching them and keeping abreast with them, especially Brandon Moss, who was a tremendous player with the A's and doing it now with the Cardinals. I think they will play hard this weekend. And between the pitchers that the Cardinals are going to see, and Detweiler, Neil, and Triggs, I mean, you're not looking at Sonny Gray and all the other guys that the A's have had. So they're capable of winning. They're capable of pitching well, good sinker ball pitchers, and if they do that, it could be a good series, but I think the Cardinals cannot afford to take the A's lightly because the A's can do some damage if they get the chance.
Ray, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your weekend in St. Louis. Any places that you plan on visiting while you're here this weekend?
Well, I went today. Carol, my wife Carol, we've been married 46 years, and we took a ride to the hill and had a nice lunch at Aziva restaurant. I think it is an Italian restaurant. And Joe Garagiola, of course, I knew Joe and Yogi both grew up on the hill, and see their pictures in there. And that was a very nice afternoon to have lunch there, walk around a little, the Italian area in the hill, at the hill. And it was a lot of fun. So I don't know. My brother's coming up from Southern Illinois. I have some friends that are coming up. So probably going to be busy tomorrow and Sunday. But today, my wife and I got a chance to at least go to the hill and finally see that.
You can't go wrong with a meal on the hill. It's always a good call.
That's right.
Ray, thank you so much for stopping by with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll enjoy the weather. Thank you.
That's Ray Fossey joining us here. I would imagine he would much rather be in Oakland weather in August.
It's a trade-off. You get a nicer, maybe nicer accommodations as a broadcaster here at Busch Stadium than you would in Oakland, but you don't have the weather.
That's Ray Fossey joining us here. That was fun talking to him. I figured it just made sense that he grew up a Cardinal fan. Just made way too much sense. Joe Torre also in town this weekend.
And Chris Carpenter. It's the Cardinal Hall of Fame induction this weekend.
Yeah, so Joe Torre in town along with Chris Carpenter. Carpenter's not going to be doing anything really tomorrow, you got to assume, right? I mean, his day was Tuesday. He did kind of throughout the first pitch.
The ceremony itself is tomorrow, so I'm guessing I'm not sure if they have a Q&A of sorts at Ballpark Village for it or if he has to give a speech.
Well, he'll give a speech.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's asked to do anything more. I guess maybe Torre will be giving out the first pitch tomorrow, throwing that out.
I think so. I think Torre's doing live at Shannon's tonight.
That might be a listen.
I would think so.
That would be, yeah.
I would think that.
You get Mike Shannon and Joe Torre telling stories, that'll be something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Or even if Mike Claiborne's there, you just got all those guys just telling stories. Mm-hmm. That's a good call.
We have, you know what we're going to do right now? I know we don't do it for a few more minutes, but because they're, Hoff, you've started a firestorm of tweets. I just keep getting notifications over and over again. So right now, it's 4:43. It's time to take a look at things that are happening on
This Day in History.
Sponsored by Tanner Law.
If you're Ezekiel Elliott and you go into a head shop and you get into trouble and maybe you're a place you shouldn't be, well, I'm sure Jerry Tanner could help with that. But Jerry Tanner wants you to know that what he is doing is he's going to help your personal injury and workman's comp. There are a lot of lawyers out there. Just open a phone book. Open a phone book, go to the A's, go to attorneys, and you'll see. But Jerry Tanner wants you to know that he has the experience and dedication to give your personal injury a workers' comp case the attention it deserves. He has been in practice since 1982, and when you retain Jerry Tanner, you will not get a junior associate or a paralegal. If you are hurt in a car accident or injured at work, call Jerry for free. 314-241-1956. That is Tanner Law. Find him online at tannerlaw.net or remember the number, 314-241-1956. And as Plowsy always says,
the choice of an attorney is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisement.
Hey, Joe, things happen on this day in previous years. Would you like to know what?
I would like that. Yeah, it's a sponsored segment.
It is a sponsored segment. We don't have too many more of these left, unfortunately.
Jerry will jump onto something. Well, yeah. We're going to get something that Jerry can jump on and support. And we'll do that.
On this day, 1939, this is one hell of a station that telecast or broadcast the first Major League Baseball game on TV. Joel, was W2XBS. W2XBS in New York. It was a doubleheader between the Cincinnati Reds and the Brooklyn Dodgers at old Ebbets Field.
You know what that station is now?
WCBS?
No. WNBC.
WNBC. Boy, did Howard Stern hate that.
WNBC.
Who's the Pig Giamatti?
Vomit was Pig Vomit.
Paul Giamatti.
Pig Vomit, which they had to class up. I wonder if it's still on Netflix. I'm going to have to watch that.
On this day in 1973, the University of Texas in Arlington, not Austin, is the first accredited school to offer belly dancing. Do you remember when Matt Leinart took ballroom dancing as his only course in his last year at USC?
I do. Who was it? Was it Marcus Camby that took basket weaving?
Oh, that could be complicated. I couldn't weave a basket. On this day in 1988, Joe, we learned something today. Miran Karimi Nasseri, Terminal Man, is stuck in the De Gaulle Airport in Paris, France, where he will continue to reside. Joe, this started on August 26, 1988. He will reside in the De Gaulle Airport in Paris until August 1, 2006. And on this day, 1999, Michael Johnson captures the 400-meter world record, which is a record that would stand until 12 days ago, and it was broken.
What happened? What we started to discuss from this? The guy's name again is. By the way, it was Pig Vomit on Private Parts. I'm trying to see what it was known as. He was.
I think he was.
They referred to him as Pig Virus.
I think he was. And he was kind of a, I think what I read, he was a combination of a few different program directors who he didn't like.
Right.
I don't think he liked any of his, but I think he just kind of disliked authority in general.
Yeah.
But it was a combination of a few that he sincerely hated.
So, Miran Karimi Nasseri. What happened was he claims that he was expelled from Iran in 1977 for protests. And so then, as having claimed to have been to have one British parent, although he couldn't produce any evidence, he decided to settle in the UK in 1986. But en route there in 1988, his papers were lost when his briefcase was stolen. Despite the setback, he boarded the plane for London, but was promptly returned to France when he failed to present a passport to British immigration officials. He was initially arrested by the French, but then released as his entry to the airport was legal and he had no country of origin to be returned to. Thus, his residency was Terminal 1. Now, I believe in the movie Terminal, The Terminal, by Tom Hank. He, I guess, as he was, like, flying in the air, as he was in the air, the country, like, had a coup.
Oh.
I think so. Therefore, it was, like, no country or something, if I remember correctly. Catherine Zeta-Jones was in that, too, I believe, with Tom Hank. So then he had to be stuck there, I believe, is what had happened. So attempts were made to have new documents issued from Belgium, but at the time, authorities there would only do so if Nasseri presented himself in person. However, under Belgian law, a refugee who voluntarily leaves a country and has accepted him cannot return. So this in 1995, the Belgian authorities granted permission for him to return, but only if he agreed to live there under supervision of a social worker.
So he's got caught in a lot of red tape, it sounds like.
Yeah. He refused this on the grounds of wanting to enter the UK as originally intended. So he stayed at the airport until 2006 when he was hospitalized and then his sitting place was dismantled. Toward the end of 2007, he left the hospital and was looked after by the airport's branch of French Red Cross. 17 years. 17 years. Spent most of his time, he had his luggage at his side, and spent most of his time reading, writing in his diary, and studying economics. He received food and newspapers from employees of the airport. That is nuts. So you pose the question. You pose the question. Does being in the French airport mean that this guy had visited France? Was he in France? Which led us to talking about your question of what airport would you like to be stuck in for 17 years?
Yes. And I further extrapolated that by asking also, which you posted on Twitter, if you've been into an airport, does that count as having visited that city? Because I said I wouldn't mind staying in the Atlanta airport because that's a big airport. There's a lot there. You can just wander around for a little bit and kill time that way. Because I've been to the Atlanta airport for a few hours on a layover, and I believe that counts as me being able to say I've been to Atlanta.
No. The two recent layovers that I can remember having, I had a layover where I didn't get off the plane in Albuquerque.
So you've been to Albuquerque.
And I've had a layover in Dallas where I got off the airplane, used the restroom, got back in line to get on another airplane. Therefore, I have never been in Dallas.
If you've been to, was Love? Was that Dallas Love, their main airport?
I have no idea.
If it was, you've like driven around Dallas because anyone who's flown to that one knows that there's like a runway and then you drive for 10 minutes and then you're at the airport. So you've been to Dallas and you've driven around in Dallas, Joe.
No.
What are the qualifications? What is required to say you've been to a city?
You need to be out. You need to step foot off the property of the airport and breathe the air of that city.
So can this guy not say he's been to France?
No.
He spent 17 years in an airport, Joe.
He's been to the airport.
But he can't say he went to France?
He's been to the airport. He's been to the airport. No eating at a restaurant does not count.
Why not?
No. Does not count. Go out, experience some local fare.
There's local fare at the airports. There are local establishments at airports, Joe. Mm-hmm. There's a Schlafly restaurant at Lambert. You can eat there. There's also a Schlafly restaurant in Maplewood, not too far from here.
No.
One in the same.
You can say you drank Schlafly beer. Say you drank local beer, but you were not in St. Louis to drink it. No. Months is a higher number than that cell phone guy's radio station lasted. That's very true.
That is very true.
Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic, yes. Man. That's Kevin Miller. He's a sponsor of this show. Realty Executives of St. Louis.
We're returning to the call letters next week. Of one of those stations.
Jimmy Dugan, if you come out of said airport speaking their language, then it's safe to say you have been to that country. So did he come out speaking French?
I'm sure he knew some French. He could probably say,
bonjour.
Yeah, oui.
Oui, oui.
En français. Un, deux, trois. You could probably count to three, Joe. Quatre. Count to four. Un, deux, trois, quatre.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? I mean, would you like to go to bed with me?
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Learned that 4 years of French. French club president. That's who I was. Mm-hmm. Let's see. 618, Joe, you're wrong. 630, if you exit security, you are in the city. Does having sex with a local count? If you could do it in the airport, sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you would, but sure.
Go right ahead. Do people go to airports just to eat? No, you got to go through all security and you have to have a ticket now. So you can't, I guess you could go When you enter in Lambert.
Do you think people pre 9/11, when you could just walk into the terminal, you think people did that?
Ooh.
Like in the 90s?
That's a good question.
Before the heavy security measures that have since taken place?
That's a good question. I mean,
you know what I'm in the mood for? Sbarro. Let's go to the airport.
Couldn't you just go to the mall?
What if the airport's closer?
That seems like a hassle. Where is
mood.
It? Don't you have to pay to park there then?
I'm in the mood for a Cinnabon. Let's go to Lambert.
I'd like to pay $7 for a Burger King value meal rather than $5.
And I want one that's
Let's go to the airport.
I want one that's already been made.
Right.
Not one that will be made when I order.
No. Can't say that, no. If you wash your hands in the bathroom, that's French water, almost as good as French air.
He's got a point there. There's oxygen in that water, Joe. Like the oxygen in the air. Check and mate. So you either breathe the air or you wash your hands. That means it can be in that city. And I wash my hands in Atlanta. I've been to Atlanta.
You haven't been to Atlanta. Were you on a street that had the word peach in it?
I'm sure I was. I'm sure I saw the word peach somewhere.
No, were you in a car on a road with the word peach in it?
I was not, no.
Then you were not in Atlanta.
Well, then how do you decipher that for
you
the
You were not
then?
In Atlanta. I could just tell you that's the deal with Atlanta because every street in Atlanta is peach this or peach that. 630, ask Timberfake. He's an airport expert. That's a good, good text.
Does he work at the airport?
No. He stands outside and takes pictures of celebrities.
Oh, that's weird.
It's a good point. Oh, so yeah. All right, we have to. You're wrong. You're so wrong on this. You really are. That doesn't count at all. All right, a lot to get to in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot of stuff that I have not gotten to yet that we will wrap up our show with coming up in just a bit. It is the Afternoon Drive here on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. But first, let me just remind everybody one last time, DraftKings, your destination for 1 week fantasy football. Use promo code 920. Play for free with your first deposit. That's 920 to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.